Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III from LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Developing Ministry Skills, Casting Out Demons. Matthew 12:28 reads, "But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you." In order to fulfill the Great Commission, disciples need ministry skills. Disciple-making churches believe that the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, Ephesians 4:11 and 12, exists to equip and launch the rest of the church into ministry, which includes competency in sharing the gospel, praying for people, and casting out demons. Although the Bible does not give us conclusive information on the origin and identity of demons, it makes it abundantly clear that they exist and pose a very real danger. Any serious Bible-believing disciple must come to terms with his or her responsibility to address the oppression some people experience from demons. Materialists usually dismiss the supernatural out of hand. Even those who profess to believe the Bible may find it difficult to swallow that many people have demons. In Jesus' day, there were no asylums for those suffering various forms of insanity and other forms of torment. They had to be cared for by family or were simply abandoned, as in the case of the Gadarene demoniac, Mark 5:1 through 20. Today, we hide and medicate the most severely demonized people. The less severely demonized probably don't even know what their problem is, however. I am not implying that all people who experience mental torment are demonized, but some are. Demon oppression is misunderstood thanks to how it is presented in the movies, lack of proper teaching, and our general fear and avoidance of the supernatural. Many conceive of demon oppression as being possessed, which is unfortunately how some versions of the Bible translate the Greek word daimonizomai. To be completely accurate, we should say people are demonized, not possessed. Possession infers ownership, whereas demonization communicates the idea of being oppressed, which can take place at various levels. Using the false notion of possession, some people argue that it is not possible for a Christian to have a demon, since we are owned or possessed by God's Spirit. However, when we properly translate the word as demonized, we see that believers can be demon-oppressed, and, in fact, many are. If you wish to read more about this, you can go to my website. Once we believe people can be and are demon oppressed, the next need is for us to be able to discern the presence of demons when we encounter them. There are three basic approaches to this. The first is to dismiss the possibility of demonization and never address it. The second is to overemphasize the demonization factor and assume that they are behind most every sin, sickness, and bondage issue. As you may have guessed, I employ a third approach that never assumes that demonization is the root problem unless it is blatantly obvious. Thankfully, one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits, which enables us to detect the presence of demonic spirits. Rather than demonization being the first thing to look for, I have found that most bondage issues stem from what the Bible calls the flesh, which resides in every person, even those who follow Christ. Until we are resurrected, we will deal with this anti-God residue in our lives. Galatians 5:16 and 17. Unless we learn how to walk in the freedom Christ purchased for us, we will experience some level of bondage. Romans 6:14. Unconfessed sin is another primary source of oppression, especially when it is bitterness or past involvement with the occult. Jesus warned us that people who refuse to forgive will be turned over by God to tormentors or torturers. Matthew 18, verses 33 through 35. These are likely demon spirits, but the quick way to be set free from them, or whatever they are, is to repent of holding offenses. You can read more about this on my website. To learn more about how occult involvement opens the door to demon oppression, you can also find articles on that subject on my website, 3rdpeter.com. Another source of oppression and bondage is what some people call generational sins. These are sins that one can see being passed down family lines. One generation after another gets impacted by the consequences of sins committed by family members who lived before them. This is especially true when the successive generations get involved in the same sins. Although demonization can be associated with generational devastation, the problem should first be addressed as its own issue. I have written extensively on this subject in my series on Wonderful Counseling. If you're interested in learning more, go to my website. Two other frequent sources of bondage are lies people believe and unhealed traumatic pain. Once again, you can read what I've written about this in my Wonderful Counseling series. When we address these previously listed roots of oppression, we sometimes find that demons have attached themselves in areas where we have practiced sin, held on to bitterness, been involved in the occult, believed lies, experienced traumatic pain, or been victims of generational devastation handed down to us. Demons are equal opportunity oppressors who take advantage of any open door, whether it seems fair to us or not. Something as seemingly innocuous as kids playing with a Ouija board can open the door to demonization, not to mention something so horrible as adults sexually abusing children. Having sex with demonized people is another door opener. You can read more about this on my website. Diagnosing the presence of demons is the most challenging part of liberating people from them. We do not want to misdiagnose the source of bondage. If we try to cast out the flesh, we will fail, leaving the person to whom we minister discouraged and confused. Conversely, if a demon is the problem, we must address it as such, or the person will not be set free. The key to liberation is the authority of the risen Christ. When Jesus rose again, he completely defeated demonic powers. He has given us authority to speak in his name. When we command demons to leave, they must obey. The Holy Spirit will see to it. He is the power behind Christ's authority. You can read more about the details of how to cast out demons on my website. Of all the ways people get into bondage, probably the easiest to deal with is demonization, if we first deal with the other areas. That is why I advocate for a broad spectrum approach to setting people free from bondage in my Wonderful Counseling series. If we fail to shut the door to oppression by first dealing with unconfessed sin, bitterness, past occult involvement, unhealed traumatic pain, lies people believe, and generational devastation, we may cast demons out the front door only to see them re-enter through the back door. Demons need a hook in people. Looking for the hook and closing the door is our challenge. Once that is discerned and handled, we simply command demons to leave in Christ's name and authority, and they must.